Consider this. In Indonesia, the Bugis people recognize 5 genders. In Navajo tradition, there are 4. Meanwhile, most Western societies insist there are only 2, and that these categories are fixed, natural, and universal. This disconnect reveals something profound. What feels like biological destiny is actually cultural storytelling. Gender isn't discovered in the delivery room. It's assigned, constructed, and enforced through countless daily interactions that begin before we take our first breath. The question isn't whether gender exists, but rather whose version of gender are we living, and what other possibilities have we forgotten or never known existed? Your gender journey begins with geography and timing. Born in contemporary Sweden, you might attend a gender-neutral preschool using the pronoun hen. Born among China's Mosuo people, you'd grow up in a matriarchal society. Born in most Western nations, you're immediately sorted into pink or blue based on genital appearance, a practice that seems obvious until you realize it's just one option among many. This sorting carries weight. Boys receive building blocks and sports equipment, cultivating spatial reasoning and leadership. Girls receive dolls and kitchen sets, channeling them toward caregiving, the opening moves in a lifelong choreography of expectations. But bodies don't always cooperate with binary thinking. Intersex variations occur in roughly 1.7% of births, the same frequency as red hair. Chromosomal patterns beyond XX and XY, hormonal differences, anatomical variations, these represent natural human diversity our two-box system can't accommodate. Throughout history, cultures have created expansive gender systems. India's Hidras represent a third gender rooted in Hindu tradition. Among the Mojave people, Alihas marry men and possess supernatural healing abilities. In the Balkans, sworn virgins emerge when families lack male heirs, with daughters transitioning to masculine dress and male social duties. These aren't historical curiosities. They're evidence that our current system represents one possibility among many. 18th century American masculinity would be unrecognizable today. The genteel patriarch, refined landowners like Thomas Jefferson, valued sensory pleasure, passionate male friendships, and elegant refinement. The heroic artisan, urban craftsmen like Paul Revere, emphasized skilled work and family devotion. Neither ideal prioritized violence, competition, or wealth. These men wept openly, wrote love letters to male friends, and wore flamboyant clothing without threatening their masculine status. Earlier still, European culture operated under a one-gender system, viewing women as inferior versions of men. Physicians understood vaginas as internal penises and ovaries as lesser testes, a completely different cultural lens for interpreting anatomy. Today's American boys navigate 4 unspoken rules: avoid anything feminine, no sissy stuff, embrace competition and risk, give 'em hell, suppress emotions, be a sturdy oak, and achieve economic success, be a big wheel. Girls face looser rules but encounter the bossy trap. Behaviors praised as leadership in boys get criticized as unladylike in girls. These dramatic shifts demolish the myth that current gender norms reflect timeless biological truths. What seems natural is actually cultural construction, constantly evolving. Gender socialization is so effective, we mistake it for instinct. Anthropologist Margaret Mead shattered this illusion studying Papua New Guinea cultures. Among the Mundugamore, both girls and boys learned violence and competitiveness, traits Western culture codes as masculine. Among the Arapish, boys learned gentleness and nurturing, behaviors Western culture codes as feminine. These findings proved gender behaviors aren't hardwired, but culturally learned. This conditioning begins immediately. Parents unconsciously treat infants differently based on assigned gender, comforting boys less, playing more aggressively with them, emphasizing independence over connection. By school age, children have internalized elaborate gender rules, enforced through subtle rewards and punishments. Some parents today attempt gender-neutral approaches, using neutral pronouns, avoiding gender reveal parties, letting children choose clothes and toys. Sweden has pioneered this with gender-neutral preschools and officially recognized neutral pronouns. the effectiveness of this socialization explains why gender feels natural rather than taught. Yet transgender experiences prove socialization isn't destiny. People frequently develop gender identities diverging from their conditioning, demonstrating the complex interplay between social influence and personal identity. Your gender experience is inseparable from your race, class, sexuality, and other identities. An African-American boy navigates masculinity differently than a white boy. While white boys' behavior gets excused as boys being boys, identical actions by African-American boys are interpreted as dangerous and adult contributing to disparities in school discipline and police violence. For Asian-American women, gender intersects with fetishization and the model minority myth. Stereotyped as passive and sexually exotic, they navigate assumptions that contributed to the 2021 murders of 6 Asian-American women in Atlanta. For Arab-American women wearing hijab, outsiders assume oppression, while the hijab may represent deep faith, community connection, and liberation from objectification. White women experience privilege through race while facing discrimination through gender. Mainstream feminism typically centers white women's concerns, often downplaying contributions from women of color like Sojourner Truth, Ida B. Wells Barnett, and Tarana Burke, who started #MeToo in 2006. Gender is never experienced in isolation. It's always modified by other identity dimensions, creating unique experiences that can't be reduced to universal claims about men or women. For transgender, non-binary, agender, and gender-fluid people, navigating a world built around binary categories requires constant translation. Non-binary individuals, comprising roughly 25-30% of the transgender population, identify outside strict masculine-feminine categories, while agender people experience no internal gender identity. Social transition involves changing names, pronouns, and presentation, but hostile systems create barriers. Legal name changes cost $100 to $400 and require court petitions and public notices that can endanger transgender people. Medical transition faces additional hurdles. Healthcare systems designed around binary transitions, requirements for gender dysphoria diagnoses, and complications when non-binary dysphoria is partial or nuanced. Even within transgender communities, unspoken rules govern correct ways to be trans. Media narratives emphasizing medical transition can make those who don't pursue hormones or surgery feel not trans enough. Trans people who pass may experience greater safety, though physical characteristics like height can make achieving society's gender expectations challenging. Legal protections remain a patchwork. While some places offer comprehensive anti-discrimination protections, many U.S. states provide partial or no coverage. Despite growing public support, many states passed anti-transgender legislation in 2020-2021, targeting sports participation, gender-affirming care for youth, and bathroom access, revealing that progress is neither linear nor guaranteed. Gender profoundly shapes our bodily relationships. Women spend an average $300,000 on facial beauty products alone, a third shift beyond work and household labor. Men generally feel better about their bodies because they're encouraged to view them as active subjects rather than passive objects for evaluation. These different relationships affect health outcomes. Men die 7 years earlier than women in the U.S., not from biology, but because masculinity demands risk-taking, discourages medical care, and treats vulnerability as weakness. Women seeking health care face dismissal of their pain as emotional. For Black women and women of color, these disparities multiply. Several paths forward emerge: maintaining current systems, achieving equality within existing categories, eliminating gender altogether, or creating entirely new arrangements. Some scholars argue gender categorization inevitably creates hierarchy. Others insist dismissing gender invalidates those who fought for recognition. Perhaps the future holds infinite genders. Since no one perfectly embodies their category, we each have unique personal genders. Understanding gender's constructed nature opens possibilities for more intentional arrangements. Progress isn't inevitable. The gender pay gap has stalled for 30 years, and book bans targeting LGBTQ+ content have surged 67% in 1 year. But recognizing our current system is just one story among thousands allows us to imagine alternatives that honor human diversity.